Hey, yo, we about to tear it up. Yo,
break for break, break for break it down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, sitting in the Indian position.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, aka The Actual Factual.
Hey, man, what's happening?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm good, man. We got family.
Yes.
And I don't know how you do things at home. I'm pretty sure you do the same as me. We don't keep them waiting at the door.
No.
We invite them
in. He's been to my house for real,
Yeah. It might be sunshine. It might be snow. It might be raining. We don't keep them in. No, please come in. Take your shoes off,
man.
Please. What can we do
for
you?
Pull out the best cutlery and the best crockery and that.
Yeah, the crockery and that, and the ras malai and the barfi and that. You get
man,
me?
Get
we have to
chips.
Pull out the Indian sweet. You get me? One of them Bombay mixes.
Come
and
on.
You see, we're having so much fun because the energy of our guest, who you know from looking at the description, is Ryan Skillett. He is a friend of the show. He is family. We love him. We love him on and off air, and we're very proud to have him on Breaking Atoms. Ryan, man, what's going on?
Thank you. That was a lovely, sweet introduction. And yes, absolutely. What you just said is spot on. Family. Like, I remember, like, it goes a way back. It goes way back between you and I.
Yeah, I think we're looking at about 12, 13 years.
Right. You see, Sumit?
Yeah. Sumit, been outside.
It goes way back with Sumit. Like, Sumit was probably one of the first journalists / DJs / music influencer that was kind of clued up to a lot of our work from early doors, the Quarantine, the, you know, shouts to Loudmouth, K-Night, Mento, Pyro, myself. So there's abundance of love for both of you on my end, for sure.
Nah, big fact.
Appreciate it.
Nah, we have a lot of love. Listen, I think it's important to say this. I'm going to go on my rant now. Watch. It's not even been 5 minutes and we're on my rant. I think it's important to say this for people who are listening, and this is a life thing. You see, I ain't seen you. The only last time I remember seeing you in the flesh is when I poured that Pepsi on the side of Hammersmith Apollo, the road. I don't know why I was pouring Pepsi for Skillett. Like, yeah, pouring out. And I don't know why I was doing
such
it,
an
right?
idiot, bro. But
I know I'm an idiot, but that's that back
no,
then. I'm
no
still
one,
an idiot
no
now.
One died in it. Why are you pouring liquor on the corner?
I don't know. It was just something I was doing. It made him laugh that I did it more.
It was joke.
Right? The thing I wanted to say is, it don't matter how long I ain't seen you. It don't matter how long I ain't spoken to you on the phone or spoken to any of your family members or nothing. It don't matter if I pulled up to the store and I haven't even hollered at you, because I have. I'm sorry about that. It's important to note that we love you, man. You and the rest of the team, we love you, man. We're very happy for you. And you got a new album out. You got a release party. We'll get all to that. But I think it's important. Like, you may not speak to each other all the time. And this goes for people who are listening too. You may not speak to your friends, but you show that love.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in creatives, we have sometimes the arrogance. We feel like people should do certain things in order to maintain a certain relationship. But in our heart, it's what's in our heart.
Mm, absolutely.
And what's in our heart is, man, we love you and we respect you and we got love for you all day, every day. From now until the end of eternity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
In perpetuity.
I was going to say, you know what I mean? You can't say end of eternity, innit? Because there's no end. It's eternity, innit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I meant to say until end of
Come
time,
on,
I was trying
grandma,
to be...
Grandma.
Sorry, Nat. Grandma, please.
No, I appreciate that. And yeah, and I got love for you guys too. And I think, yeah, that's it. I think even with like my musical journey, and I feel like there was a part, and you know, you get to a point when you put a lot of work into your craft, and it might not always get the results that you want, and you just feel like, for some reason, you feel like you're entitled to like recognition, or you feel like you're entitled to be talked about. But I always knew that the people that had my corner had love for me. Mm. You know what I mean? It's always been up to me to put the work in, and that's what it is. So. But thank you, Sumit, man. I really appreciate those words, man.
But look, let's get to the shits, because I like to swear on this podcast.
Yeah.
So let's get to the shits. You got a new album, but talk to us about what's happening this week. Album release. Plug it all. Who's there? Special guests. What people can expect. Where it's happening. All of that.
Yes. So I'm this will be, I guess, officially my fifth studio album. You know, I've done. Before, I would have said this would be my fourth studio album, but it is my fifth, because I think I'm trying to remember now. But anyway, I think so, it's fifth. And it's called Skillett. It's called Love, Time and Heritage. It's a brand new album. It's a very grown album. It's a very serious album. There's elements of you know, usually with my past work, I've always done something comical, fun. There's not much of that in this album. It's a bit more of a reflective album. It's a bit, speaking of Ryan Albert, the person, opposed to Skillet, the character. It's on the 21st of March, which is this Thursday, 7 to 11. I'll be performing with loads of guests that's on the album. Guests like Doc Brown. You know, Poison's Pulse is in the building. So Doc Brown, Tony D, Styler. We got Quarantine in the building. Pyro Bars, Mento. You'll see Loudmouth there. You'll see K-Night there. A great talented musician named Shay Sweat from the, he's from a group in South London called the Swirlers. He is one to watch. He is he's phenomenal. I can't praise him any higher. And Tuberculosis, Wolverhampton native. We got TB in the house. So yeah, a lot of Wolverhampton heritage is in the building. And shout out to DJ Ace, who'll be hosting the night. It's gonna be fun. Tickets are selling really well, so it's gonna be a packed building. And hopefully tickets will sell more. It's not sold out, but hopefully by Thursday, I could put a message out before the doors close that it's sold out. So who knows? But yeah, it's doing really well. So yeah,
dope. All the best. Before I hand over to Chris, I just want to talk about Love Time and Heritage. What was the genesis behind this? Like, what? Because you know, you don't necessarily have to be doing music. You're very successful in all the endeavors that you have. You're one of those creators, I said off air, like you can, you know, you're killing in every direction, right? So why come back to the music? What was the genesis around that?
Yeah, good question. I feel like, you know, my last studio album was in 2017. That was called Skillet Loves You. After that, you know, had a little bit of success with that. And then obviously I was doing podcasting, which was kind of become my main focus, really. And if I'm honest with you, I did a few songs here and there throughout the years. In 2020, I dropped a single. 2021, dropped a single. But it wasn't anything of... It was just to do it because it's in me to do it. I wasn't trying to do it to pursue becoming a musician again or bringing back a return or anything. But I don't know what happened. I think it was like after New Year's Day, something happened. I don't know what it is, bro. I can't explain it. But I think as you all could understand, because you're creatives yourselves, you know, you're a rapper yourself, you know what I mean? I just got the urge to start writing bars again. And I couldn't put the pen down. I just kept writing. I think a lot of it was the stuff I needed to get off my chest. Maybe stuff I felt about myself or stuff I just needed to convey. And then I wrote so many songs. It's like, this is a 12-song album. There's so many other songs I've written. And I just kind of put things aside. Like, okay, this will go good here. This will go here. And this 12 will come here. And this 12 is what this first album is going to be, which is Love, Time and Heritage. I don't know what it is. I just had an innate passion to make music again. And I'm enjoying the process. And it's less pressure. I think it's less pressure for me, where when you're younger, you're trying to figure things out and people are just expecting more videos, more songs, and you just don't know what you're really doing. You're just navigating. Now, I don't care if people expect anything from me. I'm doing whatever I want to do. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. So, and I think this is a very enjoyable album. And I think a lot of people would be pleasantly surprised with this album, for sure.
Talk to me about the significance of the title, because when I first heard Love, Time and Heritage, I ain't gonna lie, I thought that sounded like a reggae album, like a roots thing. You get me? Like, I thought, boy, man, I have to wear a string vest and drink a super malt, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
As a creative, talk about, you know, what the title means to you and when that penny dropped that this is the title.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all stems from the concepts of the songs that's on the album. I feel like a lot of songs, I'm always talking about time. I'm talking about time travel. There's songs where I go back in time to kind of rekindle an old flame, one that got away. There's you know, songs about, obviously, love stories. There's a song about my missus that I'm currently with right now. And heritage in terms of lyricism and honing your craft, home. Because I come from a musical home. My dad was a Clipsonian. My brothers are rappers. Hip-hop is everything to us. And that's the heritage aspect. It's just lyricism, home, family, time. I just talk about time a lot throughout the album, where, you know, where the time is gone. Or what I could have done if I could turn back time, what I would have done better. Time now, how I'm spending my time now, and love. And I always talk about love in every album that I have. So the title kind of makes sense to call it Love, Time and Heritage.
I hear that. I like that. You touched on something before, and this is something that I've observed with you. Not so much you, but how people see you. And I look at, you know, artists. I know Busta Rhymes is like one of your favorites. I think he might be your favorite, and you remind me of him so much. People like Busta Rhymes, Ludacris, to a lesser extent, a Shock G, they suffer from what I call the larger-than-life syndrome, where their characters are so big and they're so versatile that sometimes it's hard to kind of put them in a box and pinpoint what they're good at.
100%.
And I think that's happened to you in some respect, that you've been seen as just the larger-than-life, make-people-laugh character type thing, and people have missed or overlooked that you can get deep and you can get reflective. Is that something you've experienced too?
I agree. But at the same time, if you look, I mean, look at the content I put out. I can't argue with anyone that thinks that way. Every video, most of the videos that I put out throughout my tenure of doing rap has somewhat been comical. You know, some of it has been comical, but I'm straight spitting, but it's still a comical video. So you're not even really listening to what I'm saying. You're just watching the comical video. Or I'm actually doing songs that is like a comedy, like Swipe Left. That's a comedy song. Scheme. That's a comedy song. I Love Women. That's a comedy song. And it added with a comical element. You know, there was a song called The Truth that done really well. It was on Adam Buxton's The Bug, and it was nominated for Best Urban Music Video. That was a deep song. And I think that's when people started seeing, okay, Skiddy can get getting a bit serious. But then I were hitting them back with something comical. So I feel like that's why I made the point of like, okay, with this album, there's no funny songs. It's just either something reflective, something I'm just barring, or something that's like a love kind of club song. You know what I mean? But it's not anything of it is of any comic relief. And I feel like I kind of wanted to do that for me. I feel like I think since 2020 and COVID, everybody was going through stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I used that time to kind of like be a bit more reflective about how I feel and what I want to say going forward. I cut the hair, you know what I mean? Like kind of just getting older, you know, trying to get my money up as well. Cause you know, some man don't take you serious when you got long hair, unfortunately. And I just got to a point where I just want to be taken a bit more serious, you know? So I think that's what it is.
I hear you. Before I hand over to Summit, I listened to some of the songs and I wanted to go through Failure.
Yes.
Very, very honest song. Very, very open. Asked about that. Yeah. You know me, man, because I'm in the house just listening to sad music all the time, bro. I ain't got no time to be partying. Where am I going? Where am I going, bro? Come on, man.
Shout out to Loudmouth on that beat. The first part. It changes up at the end, but the first part.
You say in the song, you refuse to live life through other people's perspectives. Tell me about the moment when that light bulb went off for you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's so funny because I don't even want to mention names or anything, because these are people that are dear to me that I am talking about. It's funny, right? Sometimes people could get motivated from like criticism from people they don't even know, or don't even know me or you, Kinetic or Summit. You can get upset. And I used to be like that. But I think with this one, I think there was someone that was messaging me about how I should like... I don't want to throw his name on the bus, but he basically said something like, I think you could make a classic. Like, I don't think you... And I agree. I don't think I've made a classic. I don't think that. But someone that I care about, that I have so much respect for and love for, said that to me like, I feel like you could make a classic. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, and he's like, oh, I want to help you. And I was like, well, I don't need you to help me. Like, I know my worth. Like, I know how good I am. So I'm not going to live my life through how you feel about me. I'm just going to do my own thing and I'll see how it goes. And hopefully, you know, one day he will turn around and say, you know what, actually, he did a classic. But I feel like stuff like that, it's just not, that's just one example. There's so many different examples where people think that or try and tell you how you should be. Try this, try do this. Or they think they know how easy it is to try and become an artist in the UK. You know what I mean? When they haven't even done it themselves. I remember someone else that I cared about came over one time and tried to test listen to one song I did back in the day and tried to give me advice. And I'm all for getting critique. I'm all for critique, criticism. But he was kind of coming at me in a way where I was like, well, you never actually made a song yourself in your life. so it's just things like that where I was like, I'm not letting that stuff get to me. It's people's perspective. I'm going to do what I need to do. And I know that I'm very, like you said, in Failure, very open. I don't blame nobody else for things that I haven't achieved yet or haven't of what I feel I could have fulfilled. I take that on myself. So I was very open with failure, but I also wanted to, you also want to make sure you hit that certain standards, like, yeah, all right, but I know what I'm doing as well. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
You're better than me, man. You're better than me. People come into the house, come to my house and try to play A&R. You must be mad. Did you bring food? Did they bring food?
To be fair, Ryan, what I feel you should do with your music.
Bro, someone told me how I should send my tape, a demo, to a record label. I said in 2024.
Yeah, that's the thing as well. It's like the old tropes, man. Like, it's things that they've watched a documentary that worked for an artist and think that that's going to work for everybody.
Just buy my record and support me in the best way you can.
It's like, I know, the funny thing is, I don't even ask people for, like, I can understand it if I said, hey, sit down, listen to this. What do you think? Yeah. Tell me what you think. Well, tell me what you think I'm doing wrong. I can understand if I did that. It's like, just people just, I don't know. But I know it's come from a place of well-meaning. They mean well.
I also think it's because you make it look so easy. When you make something look easy, sometimes people think, well, you know, when you listen, growing up listening to Stevie Wonder, or, you know, you love Prince, right? Yeah. I don't think you ever watched Prince one time and said, yeah, man, I can do that. You look at Prince like, raw.
100.
Some.
I saw him live and I was in awe.
There you go. Like, if I look at, I don't know, when I hear Fonte rap, I'm just like, raw. Some people hear us rapping and they're like, I can do that. It shouldn't be like that.
I can, but I can, though. I can do that.
You probably could.
No, I can't. Look, it's the same. It's the same trope of, you know, when you work in a marketing if you work in a marketing team, everyone feels like they can do marketing. You know, you go to the football game and you got people in the crowd telling Darwin Núñez to run.
Yeah. No, you run.
Why didn't you run?
Footballers like that. I might have my little, like, oh man, he should have buried that. He should have done that. But I would never, if I'm in a live pitch, say, you do this, you do this. You're never in my life. I'm as athletic as a wooden spoon, blood.
Yeah.
You get me? Who the hell am I to tell anybody anything about?
It's the same thing with my wrestling critique now. Like, since working behind the scenes in wrestling, I left my first show and I said, you know what? I need to take time with the criticism. It's not easy, bro. 100. It's not easy.
You get carried away as a fan. Yeah, but yeah, definitely.
You just have to have the approach I have. It's just fuck everyone. That's it. That's just.
I keep telling him that's a defense mechanism. He's got to go for therapy. You need a therapist and you need Jesus, bro. You are deflecting the issue. You need help.
Do you know what I like to do is I like to cause trouble. I'm a troublemaker.
Imagine.
Right? That's basically what it is.
Man, moved out of the ends and you're a troublemaker.
No. I'm still hood as it gets, bro. I'm just marlowing up here, bro.
Tag your location, right? Isn't it? Drop your location.
Yeah, drop your location. No, look, I like to absolutely tell everyone to go fuck themselves. It's my default position because at least you know where I stand, isn't it? I don't like you, don't like me, keep it moving, isn't it? But then also it allows me to keep a distance with said person because, like, yo, I don't really want to talk to him because he's a bit, you know, he's a bit off key sometimes. So it allows me to get out of stuff. I do it with family all the time, man. Allows me to get out of in-law stuff, bruv. You know what I mean? Yo, he don't want to go. You know, he's he might be a bit angry. I'm not. I'm actually a peace-loving guy. I love my life. What am I going to be angry about, bruv? Like, I'm living life. Do you know what I mean? Man, we are successful minorities in the United Kingdom. What do we have to be angry about right now? Nothing, bro.
I would argue there's a lot to be angry about, but go off.
Come on, man. Yes, there's always something. There's always going to be things to be angry about. But where we came from,
do you want me to show you my council tax, bro? I've got a lot to be angry about.
Look, I'm just saying, bro. We have to be very grateful.
Welcome, Skillet.
We have to be very grateful from where we've come from.
Skillet's in the middle of our domestic, bro. Sorry,
you know what I mean?
We got guests. Because you're family, innit? We can talk about these things in front of you.
Absolutely, and I think you're both right, if I'm honest.
I got a lot to be angry about. Don't speak for me, bro.
I just want to be very clear.
Man,
I'm right.
We.
This guy's wrong.
We.
I'm right.
We, you know. When my bills come, is it we?
Jesus, man.
Well, if the bailiff knock off my door, is it we?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why it's Fuck Break Arms. That's why. There you go. You heard it first.
Love, time, and heritage.
Skill it. I also want to double back slightly on the, I think it was an important point that you made, Chris, and not to raise our domestic even further. The whole, like, comparisons, they're all good. I also blame, I guess, the quote-unquote industry and speech bubbles or speech marks and just listeners because, you know, the people you referenced, Shock G, Busta Rhymes,
yeah,
these are incredible, incredible artists.
100.
And if people only see one facet of them from a public, it's really on them, because, you know, some of Busta's biggest songs is where he's being so vibrant and energetic and being himself. All right, you can minus Mariah and Janet, put them away because those are outliers. But anything from him being on Chris Brown's song, or, you know, Break Your Neck, or whatever it is, that was who he was. But also, it's just who he is as an individual.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that's where the industry, where their urban terms or these things, that's where they get it fucked up, because they try to play you into a place where you can only be that one thing.
Absolutely.
And the beautiful thing now, which we're all facing, is that creators can be what the hell they want, whenever they want, however they want. And Tyler, the Creator, for example, is a great example of that. Yeah. You could just switch and go, I want to be A-Gord. I'm good, man. I'm good. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think there are a lot of things that are holding back our generation. But as I was saying to you even today, Chris, on the phone, we're in a position where all of us, and you guys, I think you guys are kind of, we're all kind of the same age, right? But
no, I'm generation 24, of us, bro. Go ahead.
Sorry, Nat. I'm not. I'm 39 being 40. I'm proud of
my immediate age. I'm 24.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm de-aging, bruv. I soak myself in oil of youth twice a day, bruv.
I'm proud of being
38. This guy, bruv. This guy. Man lives in gentrified Northwest acting like, nah, I'm 25, man. I'm 25,
innit?
Anyway, so I lost my point now. Damn it.
You're saying about back in the day, they used to pigeonhole, box people in.
Yeah, yeah, we're boxed in, but we have, all of us now have an opportunity for a second wind.
I agree.
All of us.
Totally. That's the reason why I'm doing it as well. Absolutely. I've clocked onto that. I feel like when I was doing, trying to be a serious artist, I don't want to convey like I always wanted to be a serious artist. I'm always having fun. I don't care. You know what I mean? But there was a time where I'm like, oh, are people really getting my bars? Are they really getting what I'm trying to do? And it's like, obviously, now I was doing stuff with TV at the time. I used to do stuff with No Hats, No Trainers, BBC, and Channel 4 and whatnot. And then I remember some people were like, so what are you? Are you a comedian or are you a rapper? And I'm like, I'm an entertainer. I'm a rapper. I'm this, I'm that. Like, now, at that time when I answered that question, people didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, Sumit, now that's something that's totally understandable.
It's perfect for a second wind for people to kind of want to be whoever they want to be in whatever iteration, and to try it and give it a shot, because the avenues there's a lot, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things and obstacles still to go through. People need to figure out the way in which people consume music. There's different advertising models, all these type of things. But we're in a place where all of us can make, I could go make an album tomorrow and put it out. It's all good. And it's the same in podcasting. Anyone can go out and do that now and have an avenue for it and blow up, et cetera, et cetera. What I wanted to ask you, Ryan, actually, is like on the failure stuff, and just on, you talk about reflection, you know, going back in time, reflecting back. What I'd ask is, what have you learned about yourself, or what advice would you give 25-year-old Skillet rather than 38-year-old Skillet? What advice would you give yourself?
I think that's a, you know what? It's funny you say 25. At the age of 25, I was involved in a little accident. And don't get me wrong, we've all had insecurities. All of us have insecurities. But I think when I had this accident, that shot the insecurities straight to the top of my dome. And that's when the doubt started kicking in. Like loads of doubt of, am I good enough? Am I even hungry enough? Because I don't think I was at that time. I wasn't as hungry as I should have been. So I would give my advice to my 25-year-old self to keep going, work harder, try different artists, try stepping out, try networking more, approaching people, messaging people, send your stuff here. Just keep plugging away and not sitting back. And just because I've done one video or two videos and this got me this amount of extra views and I can just sit back and make them come to me. I feel like I had a bit of a mindset where I didn't feel like I needed to put as much work as I should have. And even though I worked hard in certain aspects, mainly in terms of the groundwork of getting the music out there, I don't think I did. So I think I would tell myself to work harder, push, just keep pushing. Definitely.
Okay, that's interesting because, you know, outside looking in, I see you as someone who's incredibly hardworking. Mm. Someone who I guess puts 120,000% in everything you do at 125 miles per hour. That's the outside looking in. Like I see someone who's incredibly determined, incredibly ambitious, and like dogged. Like I want, I say this because I don't know if I told Chris, but I got told this recently, and I thought this applies to me. demanding, but in a good sense.
Yeah.
You have expectations
yeah.
of what you want, and you're going to get it.
100.
There's no.
No.
There is, okay, you're saying no. How can I figure myself around that?
Yeah.
And I feel like you have that dog in there. That's the best way.
I agree with that, but I feel like, I guess I'm talking about admin-wise or like
gotcha.
mail-outs and just like...
The stuff that goes on outside the studio.
Yeah.
Got you.
Like, I feel like I didn't do enough there or even try to even reach out to things and maybe try to perform more. I did a few shows. I was lucky. I don't think I looked at things at the time. I was like, oh, wow, I was actually quite lucky that people were like booking me quite often and... And then when that all started drying up, you start thinking, oh shit, okay. You know what I mean? It's because I didn't do certain things that to kind of mistake. I think a lot of successful artists to maintain longevity, especially in the UK scene, like the Skeptics, the Gets, the Dizzies, like D-Doubles, like these guys were able to maintain a successful long-term career because they did other things. Like they were always somewhere or they were always somewhere they need to be scouted, to be somewhere else where... I stopped going places as well. You know what I mean? It's like, I think there's a lot of stuff I would have done better. But I appreciate what you're saying. I think I maybe been a bit too harsh on myself, but I do feel there's a little bit of things I could have done better. There was something else I was going to give my advice on, but I can't remember what it was now. There's something else.
I need your advice on something.
Go ahead.
Before I hand over to Chris, right?
Go ahead.
We are the Bushwhackers.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Which one's which? Which one's which?
No, don't do
which
that. Don't do that. Don't do that. What an insult.
We're the Bushwhackers.
We're not the Bushwhackers, bro.
We're not Legion of Doom,
bro. Put some respect on my name, please. Now speak for yourself. The Bushwhackers of podcasting. What we did.
That's a bit wild still.
Excuse me?
The Bushwhackers of
podcasting. I'll say you're Butch.
So yes. Yes.
Luke, the little Marga one.
Yeah, man.
The one that got dashed out the Royal Rumble in like 4 seconds. Nah, man.
Exactly. Look in the face. I kept thinking that was Butch.
You know what it is? It's the beard, isn't it? It's the beard,
isn't it? Nah, man. Man called us the Bushwhackers. Didn't even call us... The Steiners.
No, man. No, the Rockers of podcasting. Hell no, bro. No. Never.
I'm having because Simon knows his old...
No, but you know the funny thing is, he's speaking for all of us, like, we're not the Rockers. Says who?
We're not the... No,
I don't like the Rockers.
Butch.
I don't like the Bushwhackers either, bro. Talking about wrestling, by the way,
God,
Mr. Skinny.
God.
You're two Shawn Michaels. That's what you are.
I'm not Shawn Michaels
I'm
either.
I'm Mighty Janae, bro.
Yeah,
I'm
that's who
Janae,
you are.
Bro.
Get kicked through the glass, bro. That's Janae, who you are, man. Bro. You're Virgil.
Bro, you know what I really
you're
am?
Virgil,
I tell you
bro.
What I really am?
The toes.
You know I'm Papa Shango, bro. I'm Papa Shango, bro.
I was going to say, wow.
Hey, let's be real. Them gimmicks are wild.
Wild, bro. The Junkyard Dog with a chain on his neck.
When Ultimate Warrior was sick on Eurosport, when Papa Shango put the juju on him, yeah, man you, went to like went to yo. What
yeah,
happened
I
to
believed
Ultimate
him.
Warrior?
I believed him. But you know what? Yeah, I didn't have time for Ultimate
and the,
Warrior,
and
bro.
The thing was jumping down the forehead.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, the ooze was jumping down the forehead.
It was a wild time,
legendary,
you know. It was a wild
bro.
Time.
Are you mad?
Talking about
the kids don't know about this.
Talking about wrestling though, let me just keep my train of thought. Right, I know you've got a song named after the great Ted DiBiase.
Yes,
I appreciate signposting like that. And you have a line about Ric Flair on that song as well. So one of the things I really love about your music is that you always have references to wrestlers. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm always listening to think, okay, what's he going to say this time? Because, you know, I'm competitive like that, innit? So.
And we need to still, because we've got a song called Bam Bam Bigelow.
We do. But we need to put
that. We can either redo that or we need to make some more music.
You know what? I'm going to do my verse again, but... But.
The verse is cold. I don't know why you got to do your verse.
Because I'm a perfectionist, bro.
For me, you took the song.
Nah,
but that's okay.
Nah. Let's not do that.
I'm going to say that. Anybody else ask me that question? I'm not saying that.
I came with 16 bars. This guy came with 48 bars of cannabis in 98.
I was longer.
Yeah, it was longer than that. It was long. But it's cool, though, isn't it? But you have a Ric Flair reference. Are there any other, or what are the other wrestling references throughout the album? Who can we expect to hear of?
Oh, of this new album. I mean, I've got loads of wrestling references throughout the years.
That's right.
But if I think of another song on top of my head, do I mention any of our wrestling? Any wrestlers in any of them? I don't know. I probably do.
You probably just can't remember because it's in you now.
I need to remember.
All right, here's another question for you. You mentioned Ric Flair. What is it, especially in recent years, Ric Flair's positioning in hip hop just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger? What is it about Ric Flair that is so hip hop?
I think that's because of the older generation. I still believe it's because of the 90s kids who are the stars of rap in the 90s, the Camerons, the, you name it, any rapper.
Migos, and I mean, they're younger, but okay.
Migos, they're younger, and obviously they love, you know, they embrace Ric Flair, you know, and they had him in the video and all that. And obviously that would probably did go to another level with that, with the narrative with Flair. But I think like kids from the 80s kids who grew up watching wrestling, NWA and WWE, and come on, Ric Flair, man. Like, Ric Flair was... You have the titan of WWE and Hogan on everyone's throats. Like, Hogan made wrestling popular. Like, nobody really watched wrestling before Hogan, really. Like, you had fans, but you know what I mean. Like, in terms of a global basis. And Ric Flair was that one man in the rival company smashing it, bro. And it shows how much he smashed it, because we still talk about him today. And I think I think it's because of the kids who grew up becoming the bigger rap stars of the 90s who love Ric Flair, big up Ric Flair, and then the youngers after that follow suit. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Honestly,
well said, bro. Well said. My last question for you before we wrap up the interview. Love Time and Heritage. It's 12 songs. It's reflective. It's heartfelt. It's introspective. What do you want people to take away from this project when they hear it?
Good question. Because if I'm going to be honest, I want people to take away that. I want people to hear. I'm not saying this album's a classic. I'm not going to say that. But I want people to hear this and be like, man, that's a near classic. I want people to hear this and be like, you know what, Skillet? That's an amazing album. And be very surprised, like pleasantly surprised and shocked by the musicality of the album. Where I produce this all by myself. This is with my other albums, I've collaborated with other artists, like the Skillet Bang album, that was heavily co-produced by Loudmouth. You know what I mean? We did that album together. Skillet Loves You, I did that album by myself as well. But that's a decent album. It's not a great album. It's cool. But with this album, I took my time. I produced it. I saw the vision. I saw the concepts. I even put in like, shout out to Kinetic, man. And then I had a bunch of samples from random, I'm not going to say what films and cartoons because I don't want them to get taken down. But I've got loads of samples in there referencing Time and all this stuff. And Kinetic helped me figure out a way that I can still get that on digital platforms. And it's a well-produced, beautiful album that I want people to take away, that Ryan is one of the best spitters in the UK and an amazing talent, musicality as well. So yeah, producing-wise as well.
Come on.
That's what I want.
All right.
I love you.
Love Time and Heritage, man. Make sure you get that. Do your final plug, bro. Like, where can people pick up the album, digital platforms? Will there be hard copies? Yes. Do yourself, bro.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you for having me as well, guys. My album drops this Friday, the 22nd of March, in all digital platforms. You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, you name it. Every streaming platform that you use, you can get it. If you want to put some extra money in my pocket, no, I have to. Go on my Bandcamp, ryanskillet.bandcamp.com, and it'll be out on my Bandcamp page as well if you want to just throw some chain in there and support the team. But yes, and the album launch again is this Thursday at the O2 Indigo at the O2, 7 to 11. I'll be performing, rocking the stage with a load of great guests, and it's gonna be a good time.
I do want to say before I come out on Thursday, you must remember your fan base is now of a certain age. We have jobs and we have families. So when you say it's starting at 7, make sure it starts at 7, bro.
It starts at 7. I should be on at 9.
9?
I'll be on at 9. Yeah.
Who do you think you are, bro?
And then we got to wait. We got to make everybody come in, you know?
Oh, it's going to be a bunch of black people. You're giving them 2 hours to get there. Oh.
Okay. I'm going to do my show. And then once my show is done, you guys get this, baby.
Okay.
Which is another song on the album called Bamboos. That's a time traveling song. But anyway, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Honestly, I just want people to, in all seriousness, I know I talked about, you know, I want people to see me as this. I just want people to enjoy the album. I hope people really enjoy it and really appreciate and take away and see the hard work that I put in, but really just enjoy the album. That's what I really care about. Just enjoy it. Yeah. So, cheers.
No, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for pulling up, man. Like, you know what I mean? Appreciate you. Good luck. All the best. Like,
are you drinking? Did you just drink wine?
Yeah, man.
Red wine.
Yo, so you actually grown up for real?
Yeah, he ain't lying. He's been telling us the whole interview. Yeah. He's grown.
He gave us the whole spiel about I'm grown, introspective.
I'm grown, bro.
And then, all it took for me to believe him was a glass of wine. Wow.
Yeah, no, man did the smelling thing and the smell thing, like the smell test.
Swirled it around and that.
And chocolate, bro. Chocolate as well.
What chocolate you got? What chocolate you got?
It's Tony's
Oh, no, you one of them now. Oh, yeah. Skillet's gone, bro. He's gone. He's left us.
I've got some projects after this as well. Shout out to producers. I've got a project with K9 Fain coming out. I've got a project with Beats by Jackie, very talented producer, dope producer. S2.
I remember him.
Pyro Bars and I are going to be doing some stuff together as well. So stay tuned. And more Skillet stuff coming soon. And you can't get rid of me yet, guys. For sure.
Love it. Well, look, appreciate you, man. Let's do this final outro. We can head off on our separate ways.
Yeah, man.
Peace to Skillet. You can follow us at Break the Atoms on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is at Hip Hop Chronicle. Chris's handle is at I Am Kinetic. We'll be back very soon with more episodes. Until then, peace and love.
Peace.